Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you today?
I've just eaten an entire plate of yesterday's Chinese, so at around about 25 minutes in, I'm probably going to have a little snooze and Chris is going to have to do a monologue for about 5 minutes to end the show. So so that's what you're going to get from me today. I've been up nice and early fixing a road. There's a private road outside my residence. And being a tenant rather than a homeowner, I didn't realise that it was our responsibility to fix it. So this local man turned up with a digger full of dirt. A digger full of dirt. And the local people just came out and started shoveling it off the digger and into the holes, into the potholes that are in our street. The only problem is I didn't have any of the tools required. I didn't have a shovel. I didn't have a rake. All I had was an admittedly rather sturdy bright yellow broom. So that's what I used to help out. It was just no help at all. This absolute imbecile just wafting little bits of soil with my hefty broom around the place. So I'd like to apologise to the people of Canal Court.
I hope you did it to the soundtrack by Martha and the Vandals dancing in the street. For some reason, I just the image of you with a broom, calling out around the world, like cleaning the road. Oh, yeah, sounds good.
Chris, you nice cannot one. Sing that song because you're such a good singer. You're a karaoke monster. You're so accurate with your songs. The copyright people might note that it's an original. They might think that it's actually like a recording, mate. Yeah, exactly.
Mentioned a few weeks ago when Ryotaro and I had to remove a clip of Ryotaro singing A Whole New World, even though he literally went, A Whole New World. He didn't know the words, but we still had to remove it for copyright reasons. Well, I've just had a staggering amount of Cadbury's cream eggs and various chocolates. For my family, felt that they should send me a box of Easter chocolates
stuff.
For
That's
some
nice.
Reason. Quite early.
When is Easter?
I don't know when it is.
Well, you've done a show all about Christmas. You've done a couple of shows, in fact, about Christmas in Japan. What about what happens in Easter? There's a lot of egg action out there?
Absolutely nothing. No, there's nothing.
Really?
They don't know what it is.
You'd think they would jump on that. Come on, they love chocolate. They love chocolate eggs.
You think it would go down well, but no. To my memory, there's nothing. So it's a shame. But they embrace Christmas, but they forget Easter. I don't have any Easter. So yeah, it's a shame.
Well,
it's a shame.
I guess Easter egg hunts are technically littering, and there's very little littering going on in Japan. So
very true. But I regret eating the staggering amounts of chocolate that I did today, man. But this week is a bit of a. Not a great week, really, I guess, because of the old Tohoku tsunami 10-year anniversary. I can't believe it's been 10 years since it happened now. It's mental, isn't it? It's gone so quick.
Well, you must be coming up to 10 years in Japan, presumably, because you arrived right after it, didn't you?
Yeah, so I came here 1.5 years after it happened. So it's still very fresh at the time. And, it's been... a pretty big part of my time here. You know, the old Fukushima disaster and the tsunami, given the fact I live in Tohoku and I've lived kind of quite close to where things happened the entire time. So it is the 10-year anniversary. I actually heard this really kind of heartbreaking and sort of uplifting story today about this thing called Phone of the Wind. Phone of the Wind, Kazen no Denwa. It's a really nice idea. This town called Otsuchi in Iwate, they created this phone where people can come and talk to their lost relatives who kind of passed away in the disaster. And people come from all around Japan, not just those who lost family members in the tsunami, but people who have lost family members to disease or suicide or tragic events. And they come and they sort of pick up the phone in this phone booth and just talk as if they're talking to a family member. And just kind of let it all out. And it's a really nice idea, really beautiful.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it until now, even though I think it's been there for many years. And I'm tempted to go and make a video about it because I think it's such an amazing idea to help survivors.
I wonder who runs it. I wonder if it's like government or some local people thought it was a good idea. Very cathartic, I imagine.
It is. I think it's a local who actually lost his wife to some disease, I think a couple of years, I think even a year before the disaster. And then when the disaster happened, it became a whole lot more popular. But yeah, it's really beautiful. Kazen no Denwa, the phone of the wind. I think it's a beautiful thing. I wish I'd known about it because I would have featured it in one of the documentaries. And though a lot of you guys have asked me if I'm doing another documentary this year about the disaster, I haven't got anything planned. I've kind of made three now, and I don't know how much more I can add to the, you know, to the story. I don't know how many more people I can find, but I'm proud of the things I've made. And if you want to kind of learn about this tsunami, I recommend going back and watching one of them, whether it's the first one, what happened after the tsunami, where I interviewed the mayor of Onagawa, who had to kind of oversee the reconstruction of Onagawa from scratch, or the $200 billion disaster, where we kind of interviewed entrepreneurs who'd bounced back and kind of come up with ideas to revitalize the region. And of course, the Inside Fukushima documentary. Go and watch them if you haven't seen them, because there's some fantastic people in those documentaries, and I'm quite proud of them. I must say.
Cool. Yeah, definitely go back and watch them.
And also Tokyo Lens, Norm, he's also made a documentary, a great documentary, about three people who were caught up in the disaster. One of them was a schoolgirl, one of them was a fisherman, kind of talking about their experiences on the day. And because I haven't made one this year, go and check that one out because it's a very good documentary. And I take my hat off to Norm for that.
Good man. I like Norm's work. He's a very calming presence as well, I think, when he's on camera. And I like to think that because he's got a nice big beard, he can hide SD cards in them. So for logging for later, he's got a little SD card case in his beard.
SD card beard. Oh boy. Well, we've got story of the week. And this week is from Andrew from the Sunshine Coast in Australia. He says, good day, Chris and Pete. A few years ago, when I was strolling around Osaka Castle, minding my own business and absorbing the history, I had an elderly Japanese man approach me and ask me where I was from. To his delight, I was from Australia, which prompted him to immediately pull out a collection of photographs from his pocket depicting iconic Australian places. The old man told me that he came to Osaka Castle every day looking for Australian people to talk to, as he was obsessed with Australian actors. Good God, this is so random. Apparently, each day he pretends that he is a different Australian actor. That day, he was Hugh Jackman. Did this man escape from somewhere? He then felt it was necessary for him to list off every single Australian actor that he could conjure up. After about 10 minutes, he decided to leave. As he left, he told me that I should never get married because that morning, he had an argument with his wife because she refused to call him Hugh Jackman. Andrew from the Sunshine Coast. That is a story both mesmerizing and terrifying. What do you make of that, Pete?
I mean, it reminds me of when my mate Alex, when he was a little kid, he's got three little stepsisters, and he must have been about 18 and they must have been about 8 or 9 at the time. And he used to insist on them calling him Mr. Rock and Roll. and they did it for quite a while, but then they started to refuse. And he used to get really angry that they wouldn't call him Mr. Rock and Roll. So I can understand why this man is very upset, because he wouldn't call him Hugh Jackman. Maybe just go for Hugh, because you never call your partner by both of their names, do they? Just ask for Hugh. And in your mind think, yes, I am Hugh Jackman. It's fine. I am Hugh Jackman.
I love just how angry this guy was that his wife refused to call him Hugh Jackman. Imagine that argument. He'd be like, call me Hugh. Hugh Jackman. She's like, no, no, I'm not going to call you Hugh Jackman for the last time.
Ridiculous. I would like him to do like Mrs. Mangle from Neighbours and stuff. And the Robinsons doing them as well. They're really like running out of Hollywood actors.
Toadie from the Neighbours, yeah.
Toadie, yes. I'm Toadie. It's amazing. I mean,
wind back a bit. Apparently, to quote Andrew, says, apparently each day he pretends that he's a different Australian actor. So he just goes to Osaka Castle every day looking specifically for Australian people. Can you imagine that? He's going up like, where are you from? England. Oh, fuck off. Where are you from? America.
Yeah,
fuck.
Exactly, yeah.
Where are you from? Spain. Fuck off. Where are you from? Australia. Yes. Yes. Call me Hugh Jackman. Do you like Hugh Jackman? Honestly.
What a job. Castle. What a little, what a miscreant. That is what the word miscreant was created for. Absolute local colour maniac.
There you go. To our many, many Australian listeners, if you want to make a new friend and hear every single Australian actor being listed off in the in the grounds of Osaka Castle, you're in for a real treat. Okay, searching for him. Just wait around and wave a little Australian flag. Let him know that he's let him know that you're Australian. I must admit, have you been to Osaka Castle? Have you ever been there?
I haven't. No, I did hear Meiji, but I've never done Osaka Castle.
See, Osaka Castle looks quite impressive. It's very large, very imposing, has a strong history. But you kind of go inside and it's a real letdown. It's just like a normal museum, right? And they've just made it look like a castle. It doesn't, like, I remember going in, I think there was a lift, which is great. I think maybe that's a good idea.
Yeah, people accessibility that reasons. Walk.
But at the same time, like, the whole inside of it has just been made to feel like a museum. Whereas there are castles like Himeji or Matsuyama that are really traditional, and it feels like kind of a you know, a real impressive castle. But the interior was just concrete. It was all a facade, you know.
I would say that even Himeji Castle, always, when you get inside, it almost feels a little empty because not that much in there, because obviously, you know, no one's living. There's no reason for it to look nice. But maybe Osaka Castle is just, they've just thought, right, this is Osaka. We have to make this look a bit more touristy, a little bit, like give something to someone, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But there is a good view. Like, I still recommend going there because the grounds are nice and there's a really good view of all of Osaka from the roof, which is pretty high up, to be fair. So it is a nice castle in that regard. But yeah, hopefully this preemptive thoughts here will stop you guys from feeling disappointed when you go there, expecting an authentic historic experience. Now, going back kind of to the tsunami in terms of the first news story of the week, Japan has ordered 6,000 tons of Taiwan's pineapples. China.
No. Have they pressed the wrong button on the Amazon order? Did they click the wrong button? We only wanted six. We're making a fruit salad.
6,000 tons of pineapples. Can you imagine? Honestly. Do you know why this has happened, though, Pete? Are you filled in on all the political situation involving Taiwan, Japan, and China.
They really fancy a pina colada. They really fancy. They're making the world's biggest pina colada.
And a walk in the rain. I love it. Pina coladas. No, China has banned imports of Taiwanese-grown pineapples due to how do we say? I mean, the relationship between Taiwan and China's not going very well at the moment, and it's going very badly. And China has decided to stop importing pineapples, which it might sound trivial, but it's a big part of the Taiwanese kind of farming agricultural community, and it's going to affect thousands of farmers. And I think China did a similar thing with Australia because they've had tit for tat battles and whatnot. I think they stopped the imports, or they put massive tariffs on Australia's wine, and because Australia was very vocal about China and the coronavirus. I like China. I think people are great. The country's pretty awesome. The government, not so great a lot of the time. The Communist Party, I think, can be a little bit hardcore.
But it's very much like Hong Kong, the way that they are reaching and moving back on the agreement we had with English with Hong Kong. They're obviously trying to pull Taiwan back into their particular situation, because obviously, you know, Japan had it for quite a while until about, obviously 1945, I suppose. They obviously see that as being a bigger deal than the Taiwanese clearly do. So, they just be doing what Xi Jinping usually does, and just, you know, grabbing as much perspective. I guess it's more about water channels as well. You know, the waters around Taiwan's probably very, very valuable as well, connected to their natural resources. But yeah, they're just basically doing what they're doing in Hong Kong, but the Taiwanese are a little more, they're a little better kind of in a better position to deal with it, I think, and repel it a little bit, especially if they can secure 20% of 20% of Japan's pineapple market,
which is what they're trying to do. Yes, I think it's nice that Japan has a very nice, strong relationship with Taiwan, partly because of China and the relationship there, but Taiwan. When the 2011 earthquake and tsunami happened, Taiwan was very good with helping Japan get back on its feet. And they helped kind of send supplies and support. And Japan has always kind of remembered that. And so this difficult time, Taiwan and their pineapples, Japan has sort of kicked in and overseen ordering all the pineapples. And apparently 97% of exported pineapples went to China in 2020, right? But thanks to all these orders online, Taiwanese farmers have actually received pre-orders of 41,000 tons of pineapples, various companies and e-commerce platforms and consumers, already exceeding the annual quantity of exports to China. So a kind of a happy ending there. But I must say, I do worry about the Taiwan-China situation. I do think there is room for conflict there in the coming years, given that China's military is now stronger than America's military in that region. I think America would have difficulty if China decided to actually try and take back Taiwan. And I think in the next 10 years, particularly with Xi Jinping, it could be a little bit of a bumpy ride for Taiwan, which is a shame because it's an amazing country, wonderful people. You've been there. I know you like it as much as I do. You went into an abandoned building, didn't you? Had a nice photo on a roof. Got a photo of you in a chair.
In Taichung, beautiful. I love that country. I mean, that Taichung, that part of Taichung was a dump, but I really like that country. It's a really fun, manageable little country. The trains run on time. I've said it before. It's China, but it's run by the Japanese almost in style. You know what I mean? Everything works. The food is amazing. You just feel a little kind of like, you know, you feel like you're not going to fall through a floor at any point, like you sometimes do in the hotels and corridors of more rural Chinese areas.
I mean, Taiwan has been developed since the 90s, a more economically developed country. It's kind of got that nice balance between Japan being quite developed and quite wealthy. I think Taiwan per capita might even be wealthier than Japan at the moment. I think last time I checked, it was around $45,000 per capita, which is pretty impressive. And of course, Taiwan oversees one of the biggest semiconductor kind of is a major player in the semiconductor industry, which is why it's also so important to the US. But it also has that kind of authentic Chinese cultural aspect, because when the Chinese nationalists fled the mainland in, I believe, 1947, they kind of took a lot of the culture with them to Taiwan, while the People's Republic was culturally decimated in the 70s, thanks to Mao. Taiwan kind of clinged onto it. And so they kind of say, if you want a real authentic Chinese experience, traditional Chinese experience, go to Taiwan. But the food is amazing. And I'd love to go there. Like, I really want to go back to Taipei. Amazing city. Amazing place.
Me too.
Now, back over in the shores of Japan, old Yusuke Maezawa, one of Japan's most eccentric billionaires, is back with his plan to take 8 people to the moon in a SpaceX flight sometime in 2023. I can't say I'm optimistic it will happen in 2023, given that just several days ago I watched the very rocket he's supposed to travel in land on the launch pad quite successfully and then blow up. Not fully.
8 minutes between that, though. 8 minutes between that and the explosion, though, which I thought was really funny. They let the voiceover man explain that this was a successful landing, and then 8 minutes later,
yeah, it's unfortunate.
They turned the camera off.
But I suppose it was mostly successful in the sense they got it up and down again, kind of. Well, it went up.
It's all you're asking for, isn't it? If you're Saku Maezawa, he's thinking, look, let me just get me up and down, kind of.
I mean, it's a great move. It's a bold move. It reminds me of Richard Branson a little bit with his Virgin Galactic since, I think, 2000. I think even in 2007, he's like, we're going to be going to space 2009. You wait, you see. And then now, it's been 13 years and nothing has happened. They're doing a lot of test flights. Unfortunately, a few astronauts lost their lives and whatnot. But hopefully, there'll be a flight sometime this year. They're saying that Richard Branson will go on it. But yes, Yusuke Maezawa is going on a much more ambitious journey, not just into the atmosphere, but around the moon itself. And he's going to take 8 people with him on a project known only as Dear Moon. It's very poetic. It's very nice. Mm. 8 people from around the world to fill the seats that he's paid for an undisclosed sum that's some rumour to be around $150 million. Nobody really knows, but it's said that a kind of a trip of this kind will have to be around that area. I think it's going to have to be more, but maybe Tesla's sponsoring it a little bit. Sorry, not Tesla, SpaceX, because it's a great PR stunt for the company. So it's quite exciting. It'd be really interesting to see the 8 people he picks, but there's an application process with 5 stages of interviews and screenings to get there. The first stage, stage 1, the pre-registration closes on March 14th. I think it's just as simple as writing your name, your country and your email address, uploading a picture, and I think you get a little certificate saying well done for applying to be
there'll be a lot of people there'll be a lot of people just trying to get their partners up there after the year that we've had stuck at home. Just fucking put them anywhere, the bell end.
I'd love to see someone like Ryotaro go on this trip because I think it'd be good revenge.
you try to come up with a reason, and then you're just like, it should be good. It would just be good, wouldn't it? I wouldn't have to talk to him for a bit.
Get him out of here. Get him off the planet. Stage 2 kicks off on March 15th. Details we sent out about the requirements for application and selection process, with final submissions of documents on March 21st. Stage 3 involves a screening based on assignments, though what that means is currently unclear. Based on assignments. I wonder what that could mean. Mm. Take an Instagram selfie in your favourite spot and see if you could do it on the moon and inspire people. Following that, there'll be online interviews, stage 4, and final interviews and medical evaluations, stage 5, which are expected to take place at the end of May. It's all pretty rapid fire, isn't it? March, April, May, 3 months.
That's true, yeah. Is it this year? Wow, that's pretty
this year,
crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Unless I've read it wrong. I'm pretty sure it's this year. Because I've tried to encourage various friends to sign up to it, but no one's gone for it so far. I mean, you could sign up, get the certificate, get the little certificate.
I watched a film called Greenland, where is a extinction level event kind of thing, and a family have to escape
to Greenland.
Pretty obviously. And all the way through the film, a little boy who is diabetic has to worry about keeping his insulin with him at all times. And I'd be the same with my asthma stuff. But then I sort of think, would space, if I'm just inhaling oxygen, would there be as many irritants? I might be all right, I reckon.
No dust,
I might be cured.
Yeah. You'd be all right.
Can't have dust floating around the space station, can you?
You could be the first asthmatic in space and the first person from Hartlepool in space and the first person from the Abroad Japan podcast in space.
Yeah.
Think of all those
things. I'd be the very first astronaut.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Oh, God.
That's what I've settled on. Astronaut.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But it's a nice idea. You know, I think he's a bit vague about what he wants from these 8 people. I think he's looking for people that are kind of creative to undertake projects and kind of document the journey. You know, probably going to be a rocket full of Instagrammers, to be honest.
Yeah,
just taking photos.
Like it,
and it'll be really depressing. Just people taking TikTok videos and Instagram photos of the moon, being like, look at me, it's the moon.
Can you use a Lightroom mobile pro preset? Take some wicked selfies.
But, time will tell. What do you think, guys? Will the project go ahead? Will it be delayed? Would you go on the Dear Moon rocket to the moon and back? And, of course, it's most excitingly, I suspect, well, most excitingly for me, I think, is that the rocket with the astronauts on would technically be the furthest that any astronaut has ever gone from Earth, because they're going around the moon, right? Around the far side of the moon.
Right.
So,
okay.
It could be. I think it's probably the furthest an astronaut's
ever gone.
The best
cheeses. Lovely. Are they going to actually touch down on the moon? No, they're not.
It's a bit more complicated.
Oh, come on. You get all that way and you don't get to... That's like going on a flight and then flying to, you know, it's like flying to Japan and then back without actually touching down.
Well, before Neil Armstrong and the crew landed on the moon, there were actually Apollo flights to the moon and back. I think a lot of people have forgotten that a lot of astronauts, some astronauts still did go to the moon and back. They didn't land on it. They sort of went out there, had a look, flew back kind of thing.
I want to play golf on the moon. I've never played golf before. I want to be my first bit of golf on the moon. I want to bounce around. I want to do a somersault.
Take up your sword. Take up your guitar.
Yeah.
Change the world, Pete. But there you go. I'd love to see you up there. I think you should apply. Maybe I'm going to do it on your behalf. Mm. I'll sign you up.
Cheers, mate.
And when the certificate comes
through. As long as the admin isn't... Look, I will happily go to the moon on someone else's admin. As long as I don't have to do fuck all, I'll be happy.
You know someone who's listening to this is going to sign you up now. And you're going to get a little certificate.
Fine. Good. Fine. Absolutely fine.
Wow. We're going to take a quick break. Back in a moment.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Clash of the Titles, things got a little awkward when Alex, Vicky and Chris discussed the Incredible Hulk going to the hairdressers.
Have you never had a haircut and gone, that is not what I asked for?
I can't remember what it's like to go to the hairdressers.
Oh, God, sorry. That's triggering. Sorry.
That's on me.
Bad move. That is on you.
I forgot.
Because we haven't seen you for such a long time. We forgot you've got no hair.
I'm still bald. So. Yeah, it hasn't grown back magically since we last spoke.
And over on Football Ramble Presents, the On the Continent team have been keeping you across all the European knockouts, as well as a possible title race in Ligue 1 as well.
Icardi can be so frustrating because he can be just one of the most impressive finishers. But you know, when he's not quite on it, he's kind of like the David Blaine in football. Like, he spends a lot of time in a box not doing anything.
Find Clash of the Titles and Football Ramble Presents on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
And we're back. Right. Over to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message from Alan, loving Alan. Hey, Chris and Pete, with lockdown extension looming, I've been daydreaming of my last holiday, which was 2 weeks in Tokyo back in May 2019 for my 30th birthday. The podcast has been helping, and I'm longing for the day when I can return. Following the experience of being bombarded with British cultural references from a Japanese man, I had a similar experience when coming back from a day trip to Kyoto. I was on the Shinkansen after a fun day of exploring. Needless to say, myself and my wife were quite exhausted because we'd walked around on foot all day. it as we wanted to take in all of the sights. I decided to venture out for a smoke during the train ride back to Tokyo. I was in the smoking car. I struck up a conversation with a young Japanese man with very good English. He found the fact that I was Irish fascinating, and he explained to me he was a budding manga artist and was working on a new manga that had themes of Celtic folklore in it. He asked me to regale him with tales such as the banshees, the leprechauns and the like. As the conversation continued, I realised I was running out of things to tell this man. As his eyes were alight with excitement, I could not break his heart by saying I don't really know more tales I could tell him. So I did, as any good polite Irishman would do, I started to make things up. In my tired state, I told him some of the most over-the-top ridiculous things, like when the Druid gods had a full-on war with the Norse gods for occupation of Dublin, and now a butchered story of the Salmon of Knowledge, a real tale. After 15 minutes, my stop was coming up and I bid farewell to the man. He thanked me for everything and how what I have told him will inspire his manga. Needless to say, if a manga with very questionable themes of Celtic warriors has been made in the last year, please blame me. All the best. Here's hoping I can one day return to Japan, all the best. Presumably just to ruin more manga artists and tell lies. Lying man, Alan.
He's probably inspired some seriously good manga comic books.
Yeah.
In the last few years. That's great, though, isn't it?
Exciting.
Yeah. I remember my Irish friends. I've got quite a few Irish friends around Japan.
Ooh, I've got a few Irish friends.
You can have an Irish friend off. Ooh. Who's got the most Irish friends? I've got at least four. But like when I where I was placed in Yamagata, a lot of the coolest folks were Irish. They were always Irish people, always the most fun. Yeah. And I've lost count of how many times I've heard the story of the Salmon of Knowledge and forgotten it. I literally remember nothing about the. Do you know the Salmon of Knowledge?
No, I really don't. I
really
smart. It was like the
it's a wise
fish,
salmon.
A wise salmon.
I forget on it. I always zone out while listening to it, unfortunately. But I do like that. I'm quite excited about the Druid gods and the war with the Norse gods for the occupation of Dublin. Just imagine this guy's eyes lighting up as he hears this ridiculous story.
Like the Irish Power Rangers or something. Just that very Japanese kind of thing where you just have like Mothra and
Power Rangers.
Like smashing through skyscrapers.
One of my colleagues who I worked with at the school, he's from Ireland, really great guy. And whenever we went to the supermarket, every now and then we would have some strangers come over and be like, "Where are you from?" And I'd be like, "Oh, England." And he'd be like, "Oh, I'm from Ireland." And they'd be like, "Oh, very cold, very cold. Many, many snow." And they always thought Ireland equals Iceland.
Iceland,
and
he got
so angry. Like, he'd be like, "Ireland." And they'd be like, "Oh, yeah, Iceland. Oh, Iceland, amazing. Many hot springs. We love it." And the amount of times it happened. And one time, I just feel so bad. Another time, we got a new English teacher at the school. And I remember he told this new English teacher, the new English teacher sort of said, "Where are you from?" He went, "Oh, I'm from Ireland." He went, "Oh, yeah, we had a great man from Ireland, Father McKeary, who lived in Yamagata, but he died of alcoholism." And he sort of just told this really ridiculous story. It's a pretty bland and sad story. Like, "Oh, he was from Ireland. He liked to drink. And then he died because he drank too much." And my friend was like, "Okay." And he just sort of just went, "Yeah.
Cracking.
All right." And then just walked off. So, yeah, if you're Irish in Japan, you'll have some great experiences, whether it's getting confused with Iceland or hearing about
alcoholic dead man.
An alcoholic dead man. Dear, oh dear. We got one here from Zubair. Says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. My name is Zubair and I'm from Oxford, England. I've been a massive fan of the Abroad Japan YouTube channel for a few years now, as the videos have really helped me for my trip in October 2017. My question is, I know you guys are big fans of fried chicken, especially places like Family Mart Chicken, but what would you say is the best place you had fried chicken in Japan that isn't a convenience store? Oh, God. Kind regards, Zubair." Any thoughts on this, Pete? How's your fried chicken knowledge?
I'm doing my best. There was one called Oh My Chicken in Osaka that I very much enjoyed. But mainly it's all like decent chicken places are invariably, you get the karaage kind of Japanese stuff, but the best is the Korean chicken. And if you go to Korea, you're going to have a lovely time and eat fried chicken all the time. But they just, I don't know what it is they put. I don't know what differentiates, southern fried chicken with Korean fried chicken. But they just, and there's just so many amazing, sweet, sticky kind of sauces you get on them. Man, they're good. Man, they are good.
Yeah, they're a little bit different. In Japan, they tend to use soy. They kind of take the chicken and they marinate it in soy sauce and garlic. Mm. And whereas Korea, it's kind of more sticky sauce. But I don't know, really. Again, there was a video a few weeks out where Ryota and I went to a morning market, and we did have some nice karaage chicken there. But honestly, it is going to be Family Mart or something like that. Like, the amount of times I've just gone in a Family Mart, I'm run down, I'm tired, I have no energy, I go in, I get the Family Mart fried chicken, tear the paper off in half, munch into it. It's so oily. It's so unbelievably oily, but it just sort of melts in your mouth. It crumbles apart. So juicy, so succulent. Are you a fan, well, Pete? Are you a fan of Family Mart fried chicken?
Yeah, of course I am. I mean, we've spoken about this on more than one occasion, but it's just very easy to slip into eating fried chicken for three times a day, times seven,
three
in a
times
week.
A day. I'm thinking of doing a video where I'm going to go to each and every convenience store, you know, Lawson's, Family Mart, 7-Eleven, maybe Daily Yamazaki, God forbid, and track down all the kind of fried chicken I can and then review it and come to the conclusion and find which one's the best, because Lawson's have recently upped their game and maybe they could usurp Family Mart if they keep it up. So it could be a Game of Thrones, game of chicken, Family Mart chicken. But
he is man from Ireland. He ate all the chicken and died.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. But yeah, I'm going to do it. It's going to play havoc with my stomach and my cholesterol.
Innards.
But it'll be worth it. It'll be completely worth it. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it all over again on Sunday. But for now, guys, enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll see you to do it all over again over the weekend. Have a good one.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.